Good morning and welcome to The Blitz. Thanks for tuning in. You are ready for a special edition, actually, that we're going to sit here and we're going to start to break down the rankings and how we feel, we being Chris the Guru Bellina and myself, Kyle Omler. And we're going to break down the quarterbacks first. Drafts are coming up. Everything's coming to a head pretty soon. I hear the cicadas in the trees. So the cicadas only mean the fall's coming. Going for a walk and all of a sudden I hear the sound driving me crazy. I'm like, oh man, I'm having a hard time even talking to my wife right next to me as we're biking. I'm like, this is kind of crazy. They're getting super loud.
Well, you know, I'll tell you, I got the biggest news. I mean, now things are kind of slow, but here's the biggest news of them all. I'm on Twitter.
Oh no.
I'm finally current with the century I'm living in. And I'm Chris at Original Guru 91. I am the original football guru. I started 1991 with that name, and I'm carrying that in there. So look for some fantasy football posts and whatever tweets. Is that the right word for it?
Yes.
And
especially
now with our show up and running, I'm gonna start hitting some stuff out there. So look for some tips and some information. I look forward to some conversations. Again, it's Chris at Original Guru 91, all one word.
I'm sure there'll be some interesting tweets here and there that I'll have to share on our regular Blitz Twitter handle as well. So this ought to be good. All right, so there's a consensus of the proper ranking of all the quarterbacks. Okay, so right. I've gone out and I have collected a lot of consensus rankings throughout the internet. I mean, there's a lot of experts out there who all have put their lists together on who they think are the top 20 quarterbacks all over the place, and I've put them all together. I've compiled them into an average, and then there's our list. Our list, of course, is not going to match up with everybody else's list, and we're going to have explanations as to why.
Of course.
Yeah. Now, there is kind of a consensus in the top six, and the tradition of the Blitz is to not give you the no-brainer obvious ones, okay? We're not going to sit here and tell you to pick Rodgers 1, Drew Brees 2, and sit here and debate about who's got the higher draft rankings. Because at that point in time, it really doesn't matter. You take Brees or you take Rodgers, they're the elite two. We all know that. So we're going to focus on the back of the list. We're not even going to start until pick 7, okay?
Right.
Even at 6. Actually, you know, I'm going to back it up 6. Because even at 6, we kind of had a little bit of a difference in what a lot of other people thought were the ranked quarterback. So Rodgers, Brees, Cam Newton, Brady, Matt Ryan, those were the top 5 right off the bat. Boom, 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 okay? Get those in any order.
Put them in whatever order you want. But
exactly.
Yeah.
Rodgers and
they're
Brees,
top 5.
The top 2, then maybe a step down to Newton and Brady and Ryan. And then at 5, a lot of people.
At 6,
a lot of people, when it all was measured out, had an interesting selection. A guy who, in my opinion and in Chris's opinion, hasn't really proven himself to be at number 6, right?
Well, you know, a lot of people have, you know, Colin Kaepernick there at 6. I'm just not sold on the guy.
I agree.
I mean, there's a couple of reasons. Number one, you know, think about it. I mean, he's a hot commodity now. Definitely had a nice run last year. Obviously, can't take that away from him. He's a fantasy stud in some games. Sometimes he was in a top 5 scoring quarterback, you know, for a guy who was a first-year starter. But the track record's not there yet to put him in the top 10. Not for me. I got to see more. Because, again, I'm going to go back to Cordell Stewart syndrome. The guy was unstoppable his first year. He was a fantasy stud, and everyone jumped on him year two, and he was a major disappointment. Just like Cordell Stewart, he lost his primary wide receiver in Crabtree. They did not bring anyone to fill that void. The NFL had a whole offseason to prepare for him, where he kind of caught a lot of these teams by surprise last year. And I just think that he's in a tough division. He's got to play Seattle twice. He's got to play Arizona's defense twice. He's got to play the Rams' defense twice. The Rams owned them last year. So I think a lot of people are going to go with Kaepernick nice and early, and I think they're going to be disappointed. I don't have him in the top 15.
I'm worried that this guy is also, like you said, Cam Newton was another prime example. He was a guy who took the league by storm. They didn't have a lot of preparation time, the NFL teams, to get ready for Cam Newton because of the holdout. Well, Kaepernick didn't even start the season. Okay, Alex Smith started the season. So, same deal. Teams didn't have a lot of preparation for Kaepernick. Well, now they have lots of preparation. Now they're going to be ready for his kind of stuff. Now, yes, he is a superior athlete. There's no denying that. And he does have a cannon for an arm. But the league, and we've said this time and time again, has a way of catching up with guys. So, I have a concern just as you have a concern that there's going to be a sophomore slump on this guy. Will he be able to bounce it back up the following year? It's going to all depend, obviously, on how he handles this situation. But he's not going to see the same kind of looks, the same kind of blitz packages, any of that kind of stuff that he saw last year. So I do have a concern
with
him being able to adjust. And you should be. Everybody should have that concern as a fantasy owner about the adjustment. Guys that are proven and who we have at number six is a guy who's just got the big money. That's who we feel like should be there, and that's Matthew Stafford.
He's got the best wide receiver in the league. I think Ryan Broyles, they say, and Nate Burleson are heading back from injury, and the recovery is going well, and they're going to be a factor early in the preseason. And you got Reggie Bush, which is, you know, only going to help Matthew Stafford. So barring injury, and again, these rankings, you know, we can't factor in injuries.
No.
You know, no one has a crystal ball. Nobody knows when or for how long or what part of the season someone's going to get hurt. So we're putting this list together based on everyone playing 16 games. I mean, obviously, if guys start getting hurt, blows up the whole list. But Matthew Stafford playing 16 games with the weapons he has around him, he's by far in the top six. And just to kind of go back a little bit for Kaepernick, I felt the same way about Cam Newton.
Right.
Let me see it 2 years in a row before I start jumping on that bandwagon. Well, now that I've seen it 2 years in a row, I'm on the bandwagon. I think after Rodgers and Breeze, Cam Newton's number three.
Well, yeah. And then the other deal with Stafford, too, is the signing of Reggie Bush. And you glazed over it there real fast.
Huge.
But I mean, geez, that's why they signed this guy, is to catch more balls. They've pretty much said, hey, we want a guy out of the backfield that's going to catch as well. Because we just want Stafford. We paid him a ridiculous amount of money. We paid him an amount of money that somebody broke it down. I don't even know who it was. But somebody broke it down on the web as to how much he was making per quarter of the NFL over the length of his contract. Do you want to know how much it is? Or do you want to remain happy the rest of your life? You want to remain happy the rest of your life, or you actually want to hear what it is?
I'll hear it.
It was like $500,000 for a half of football or something like that. So $250,000.
You know what? I mean,
oh, man. I couldn't believe it.
The money the NFL players make, I never begrudge them for it, because they have they chose this lifestyle. They put their lives and their future health on the line. It's a lot of money. But you know what? When people start complaining about what Brad Pitt makes, I'll start complaining about what Matthew Stafford makes.
Exactly. So the guys.
No one complains about the actors and the concerts and that idiot Bieber. No one complains about how much money they make, and they're not putting their lives on the line. These guys do. And I know, more power to Matthew Stafford, but now the pressure's on him.
I'm telling
you,
if I'm paying a guy $500,000 or $1 million a game, basically, to go out there and play, I'm going to use him until his arm falls off. So I'm not paying him $1 million a game to turn around and hand the ball off. That's not happening.
No.
So you got to move him up on the list. You got to put him into the situation where he has earned his dues and he has been consistent. And like you said, they have made that team around Stafford a passing offense. And they've even made that, you know, the defense is getting stronger to get the ball back as well. So it's pretty exciting up there in Detroit, at this point in time. It has been a long time since Detroit can sit there and feel happy about their team, and it's getting better and better.
As long as they can play higher maturity from the coach on down, head coach on down, they have a shot to go deep into the playoffs.
That is true. Now, another quarterback that for some reason he can never get any love, and he always falls in the same way, as we have Romo in there, so at number seven. Yeah, but immediately after that, we have our first, I guess, kind of younger quarterback in the situation, and that's Andrew Luck. Making a pretty high appearance on our list at number eight, even higher than RG3.
Well, Andrew Luck, you know, I always say I got to see it for 2 years. That doesn't hold. let me put an asterisk next to that philosophy. Not for a pocket passer. Because
right.
You know what? The pocket passer has gone through every single, you name it, type of change in defense and offense. And every year your pocket passer wins the Super Bowl. And Andrew Luck, you watch him. This guy is not going to have a drop in statistics. In fact, you got T.Y. Hilton now for a second year. They brought in Darius Heyward-Bey.
Mm-hmm.
They brought in Ahmad Bradshaw.
Right.
They brought in weapons. They brought, you know, protection for him so he, you know, he's upright more. They really didn't do anything for their defense. They spent the money to enhance the already rapid development of Andrew Luck. Now, last year, Andrew Luck was a very good starting fantasy football quarterback in his rookie year. There's not going to be a sophomore slump. The reason why I had him hired in RG3, who, like Kaepernick, I got to see more on him, but I see it with RG3. You know, I see it.
I saw it the very first game that he played last year.
Yeah.
He played the Chicago Bears.
He has,
They played the Chicago Bears in the very first game, and the Bears
preseason.
They just came after him like crazy. They were all over this poor guy. It's as though the offensive line wasn't even there. He's getting the ball on a under the center snap. He takes a step back, and there was guys grabbing at his thighs and his calves. And I was like, are you kidding me? You can't even protect him for a second. 1 second. And he was not frazzled. And right there I knew. I said, this is unbelievable. I have not seen this in a quarterback in a while. You know, the guy who can have all these guys all over him, and he was like, he still kept his eyes down the field. He was looking for somebody to throw the ball to the whole time. And I said, okay, this guy is for real, man.
And he can run the ball. So you guess every now and then you
get Aaron Rodgers like crazy in that
every now and then running. Well, right. So, I mean, you're going to have that right there. I think the interceptions are going to go down. Mm-hmm. The touchdowns are going to go up. Again, Darius Hayward Bay didn't really have a quarterback throwing him in Oakland.
Absolutely.
So is this the breakout year for Darius Hayward Bay? I'm not really sold on it, but hey, it could happen. If nothing else, you got to cover the guy because he gets the ball. He gets down the field.
Mm-hmm.
So you had, you know, Reggie Wayne and T.Y. Hilton and then, you know, the other, you know, receivers, you know, Kobe Fleener and Bradshaw could catch the ball out of the backfield. And this team's going to be a potent offense. And you're going to see Andrew Luck. He's going to, in my opinion, he's going to be the eighth quarterback off the board.
So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. And then finally at number 9 is a guy that I'm sure that other owners out there have ranked or have much higher expectations, I should say. He is ranked higher in every single board that I looked at, and that's Peyton Manning at number 9.
Yeah, when I was putting this list together, Peyton Manning had a great comeback year last year. I'm not going to take that from him. And you're going to say, all right, well, now they got Wes Welker in the mix. But I just think they're going to concentrate on running the ball a little bit more and short passes, which, you know, Wes Welker's going to get 100 passes, and he's going to get those short 1 and 2 yard touchdowns. But one of their high picks was a running back. I just see them wanting to run the ball more, a lot more play action. You know, he really doesn't have a tight end to throw to, which really is a big part of his game. And they're going to really want to use Wes Welker for that. And I don't see, you know, I don't see the production there from Welker you're going to get from Brady when he was there with Brady. And I just think, you know, he's going to put up big numbers. But you know what? I mean, Tony Romo at 7, the reason I have him at 7 is, you know, the emergence of Dez Bryant.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Once he started coming around, Tony Romo's putting up some silly numbers for fantasy owners. And I just think Peyton Manning, think they're going to want to keep him protected, which means they're not going to want to throw the ball as much, even though they have the weapons there. He's not going to drop back and throw the ball 600 times. And I think that was a lot of my factoring in this was, I think they're going to look, as he gets older and his arm strength really isn't there, that he's going to want to really, you know, cut down how much he throws the ball.
Well, you know what? That's superior logic, in my opinion. I have not really thought about that fact that everybody is getting excited. Wes Welker's coming in, and that is a great excitement. But if you look at it, what he does, you're right. He's always doing those little short underneath receptions, and then they have 3 very young running backs on that team that'll carry the ball for him a lot. And to spend such a high draft pick on a running game, it does kind of say, hey, look, you know what? We have Manning. He's an amazingly smart quarterback who will be able to find all these little openings everywhere and put it in there. But maybe he doesn't have the arm strength anymore to really rip it down the field to get these long touchdowns. So it is all kind of adding up that Manning may have a lot of dink and dunks this year and handing off the ball.
I think that's where those dinks and dunks is where he's going to struggle. I mean, he's Mr. Accurate, but when he really needs to zing the ball in there like Brady would do to Welker, he doesn't have the arm strength for that. I mean, he has a bad arm strength. He doesn't have Peyton Manning of old arm strength. And I think a lot of people are going to get giddy and excited about Peyton Manning and think that he's going to have this humongous year, like you said. And he's going to have a good, solid top 10 year at number 9, in my opinion.
Number 10 comes in with RG3. But then at number 11, this is a guy that for some reason, I mean, they kept adding this year even more offensive weapons to his roster, and the expert rankers out there just don't give him any love still, and that is Andy Dalton.
Yeah, I'm going to make the statement here that AJ Green is going to be the number one wide receiver in fantasy football next year.
Really?
Year 3 is when they make that jump, and it's year 3 for AJ Green. That being said, he already made a jump last year, so I think this year is going to be domination. They brought in the top tight end to go with an already productive tight end.
Mm-hmm.
And we see the production that a lot of these quarterbacks have when you have a good, solid tight end or two on your roster. The rookie running back is giving them a dimension on offense that they didn't have before.
Again,
Jarvis Green Ellis to pound the ball, pound the ball. Again, a guy catch the ball out of the backfield.
Yep.
Sanu is going to be taking the next step. And a guy I really like is Marvin Jones.
Yeah,
if you look, he started coming on at the end of the year. Got a couple of touchdowns and some extra targets. And, you know, all they need is one person to take a little pressure off A.J. Green, and you're going to see ridiculous numbers out of A.J. Green next year. And who's throwing the ball to him but Andy Dalton? And the other thing, too, that they have one of the top defenses in the league. Let's not – this is where defense comes in, and you have to look at some defenses. They're a sack – happy defense.
Yes, they are.
When there's sacks, there's turnovers. And when there's turnovers, it flips field position. So he's going to have a lot of short fields to get a lot of points. I really think this is a defensive line that's going to get after the quarterback. They have a good secondary that can turn the ball over. And when you do that, you have shorter fields, which means more opportunities to score. So I really think this is the year that Andy Dalton, fantasy purposes, jumps to that next level, and I have him at 11 over some big names.
Well, you do, but what I find interesting about that is you have him at 11, which is starter material, and the rankings, the average rankings, almost don't even have him as a second-tier guy. They got him at 18, so we're talking about a guy who barely even riding benches. He's almost out of the starting lineups of everybody. So I just thought that was odd that there would be such a discrepancy on a player with such massive weapons all over surrounding him. It just didn't make sense. It just didn't add up. I agree completely with what you got here. Eli Manning at 12, you know, he's just chugging along. And this is the one that really is the bombshell at 13 that a lot of people have no confidence in him, but you have a great deal. And that's a quarterback that's now going to be quarterback in Kansas City.
Love it. I think he's got probably the best quarterback coach in the NFL. I mean, if you look at some of the stiffs, Ty Detmer, Coy Detmer, and all the other guys who, you know, filled in when McNabb was hurt, Kevin Cobb, Nick Foles looked great last year when he played. Now you're giving a guy who's coming into his own with confidence, surrounded by a ton of weapons, which he really didn't have in San Francisco. This guy is potent to have phenomenal year. And I look at this guy as somebody's backup who is going to give somebody a headache, because this is somebody who's going to probably have Matt Ryan or Stafford or Andrew Luck, where Manning is their starter and Alex Smith is their backup. And they're like, oh man, Alex Smith scored more this week. Oh right. Man, I mean, maybe I need to make a trade. Should I trade him? Should I trade? He's going to create headaches for somebody, lineup headaches in a good way.
In a good way, right.
I look for big numbers, and I actually think I wasn't aggressive enough.
Yeah, I don't
think
you were.
I actually should have had him a little higher.
Yeah.
From what I feel the Chiefs are going to do this year with Dwayne Bowe, and they've got tight ends in there, and Jamaal Charles, and they're going to really know how to utilize Dexter McCluster, and, you know, I think they're going to get the most out of Jonathan Baldwin, and the weapons are just there. I just think it's definitely where, not elite, but he's going to get his name mentioned a lot in the must-start categories that you watch all over the, you know, Sunday mornings prior to game day.
Yeah, I have a feeling he'll be mentioned quite a bit on our podcast throughout the season as well. Number 14,
oh, yeah.
Ben Roethlisberger. Guy's very steady, doesn't miss games,
yep.
Puts up numbers. Number 15, Philip Rivers, another guy that has been consistent for years and years now. I actually think he'll be quite a bit better this year, though. How about yourself? Than what he was last year. Quite a bit better.
He's the guy who was in the top five every year.
Yeah.
For a stretch there, when they were in their scoring heydays, Philip Rivers was right there with Breeze and Brady, and,
yep.
And you know, he was in that second, the first one out of that second tier to go, usually. As they've lost talent, as they've gotten injuries, and as he's pressed to make plays, his fantasy numbers have spiraled out of control down. New coach, new regime there. He's going to get some players back from injury. Hopefully Ryan Matthews can play for 16 games and live up to his draft position. If all that falls into place, 15 is kind of low for him.
Right.
But he's not going to be anybody's fantasy starter unless you have a injury or he tears it up and you're smart, you know, or have a Tom Brady that you're willing to trade.
Yeah,
so
he
he's
could
really going to be somebody's backup.
Yeah, he's kind of a risk, I agree, but he could end up being somebody who ends up being a player's owner starter as well. He's just so unpredictable right now. You know, a Woodhead, they bring right. Woodhead in as a guy to back up Ryan Matthews finally, who can catch the ball out of the backfield. So that's going to be a bonus for him, I think. A guy who's reliable right. in the backfield when, or I don't even want to say if, when Ryan Matthews goes down, there's finally somebody there that can catch the ball kind yep. of the backfield. And they did take, they've been trying to draft wide receivers and get guys in there that'll help them out. Denario Alexander really stepped it up for him last year, too. So that's what I'm thinking. There's a light at the end of the tunnel for any Phillip Rivers owners out there in Dynasty League, so maybe they can get a few more years out of him.
Yeah, and I think I was a little aggressive with Roethlisberger at 14, and the reason I say that is, I mean, he did lose. As much as I'm not a big Mike Wallace fan, it is somebody that he can get the ball deep to and opened up the plays for Tonio Brown and Emmanuel Sanders, and his receiving core doesn't scare anybody. He doesn't have Heath Miller beginning of the season, so he's really going to have to be almost perfect to have the 14th best fantasy numbers of all the quarterbacks. So I think that was a little bit of aggressiveness, knowing the Pittsburgh Steelers the way I do. I think that's why I went that way.
Also,
I think he
safe,
can do it
though,
if he
too.
Stays healthy.
It's also a safe pick. You know, you're going to get numbers out of him. You just are. So why
he's
take
not
a risk
give you five
on somebody?
Touchdowns.
Yeah. Why take a risk on somebody?
He's not giving you five touchdowns.
In one game?
You know, but I think he's – yeah, I mean, he's not giving you five touchdowns in one game, but he'll get you a couple of games of three. He'll get you a couple 300-yard games in there. But, again, if you're starting Roethlisberger, that means you passed on all these other good quarterbacks, which means you're solid either running back or wide receiver to make up for it. You may have the top three running backs of the top 10, and then you settle for the 14th or 15th quarterback with Rivers or Roethlisberger. That's a pretty good team.
Yeah.
So that's not bad.
At 16, this is another guy who a lot of rankers had him much further down on the list, and that's Ryan Tannehill down in Miami.
I'm buying into the hype.
Yeah.
I'm buying into the hype. Second year, I think he's going to make the leap. They surrounded him with weapons.
Absolutely. The team itself has clearly bought in that he's the quarterback.
All the hype I'm hearing now, it's football and shorts, but everything that I'm hearing right now, what he's done, everybody's impressed with him. Teammates, coaches, he's really taken a leadership role. When I see a quarterback taking a leadership role, that means he's working hard. Okay, this isn't Ryan Leaf, who's just kind of, I'm the quarterback and I'm going to sit back and I'm just going to be great because I'm the second pick overall. This is a guy who they're saying has become a leader. And if you're a leader, you lead by example. Okay, not by yelling and screaming. So to me, that tells me this guy's putting in the work to be good. And now with that, you get him a Mike Wallace.
That's
you
what I was going to say, yeah.
You got him a deep threat. You got him a tight end, Dustin Keller, who stretched
Keller.
The
yeah.
field. Mm-hmm. They got him weapons to take that next step, something the Vikings didn't do for Ponder until it was too late.
And that's a big sign. That's my big sign that points to this guy is clearly making the strides that the organization wants their quarterback to make, because they have said, okay, this guy looks like he could be it. Let's invest. Let's get these other players around him to help us all look better. So if they – think that if they were – still questioning whether or not he was able to do it. I mean, would you go out there and you'd sign a Dustin Keller? Would you go out there and sign two major offensive receiving free agents in the offseason? I just don't think they would. So that to me is like, okay, that's a flag right there. This guy must be something. They must see something in him.
Well, right. I mean, and that's something that, again, you didn't see out of Jacksonville. You didn't really see out of Tennessee. You didn't see, you know, and it's funny, you didn't really even see it out of St. Louis.
No.
I guess they felt just because where Stafford was drafted. I mean, here we are in year four, and he's not even in our top 20. That being said, I like what I see. He has showed some really good signs last year with minimal weapons around him. And I think this year, with the weapons he has, if Mike Wallace comes to play and Dustin Keller can stay injury-free with his hamstrings, I mean, you're going to see this guy being a very productive backup for somebody. And anyone who hasn't been in a dynasty league is going to be doing backflips.
Absolutely. 17. This guy's another one. Now, he is falling right around this area all over the internet, but I still like him, and I think he could be another big boom guy and could outperform his draft position, and that's Carson Palmer at 17. So I like him.
He's got tons of weapons.
Absolutely.
Yeah, he's got tons of weapons there. He's got a quarterback, again, probably the second-best quarterback coach in the league out there with their new head coach who helped develop Ben Roethlisberger and Bruce Arians and helped develop Andrew Luck, and now he's going to rejuvenate the career of Carson Palmer. So I'm excited to see that. And I mean, it's going to be a shot in the arm for Larry Fitzgerald. You're going to have Michael Floyd out there. You got Andre Roberts. So he's got weapons. He's got good coaching, something he really didn't. You got to remember when he was in Cincinnati, that organization was just disarray. You know, even with Marvin Lewis as a coach, they didn't have anybody who could catch the ball. He didn't have those luxuries that Andy Dalton has, and he just got frustrated and got traded to the worst organization, terrible organization to the worst organization. So this is going to be a shot in the arm for Arizona. Arizona isn't. They've got weapons. They got a good fan base out there. They got potentially a good running game with Mendenhall and Ryan Williams if he comes back from injury. Good defense, which, again, that's valuable for your offensive players because, you know what? They're going to give you a good field position. I think all the ducks are in a row for Carson Palmer to have a very productive fantasy season. And somebody who doesn't want to spend an early pick on a quarterback and wants to stock their team with running backs and wide receivers and position players and then get a sleeper quarterback down the road, you could really be happy with Carson Palmer, especially if you connect him with Larry Fitzgerald, who you probably got in the first or second round.
I never really noticed this, but if you take the teams since the year 2000 and the NFL, and you had to say which ones were the biggest laughingstock jokes organization, Carson Palmer's been on three of them now. So Arizona and Cincinnati. All he's got to do is finish his career up in Cleveland, and he'll finish it all up there.
Well, right. Exactly. And I was thinking of that, but I think Arizona, since they've had their Super Bowl berth, gives them a little bit of credibility. I mean, last year they were the quarterback laughingstock, probably the worst bit of quarterbacking I've ever seen.
Yeah, but before they had Kurt Warner, they were the Death Valley of quarterbacks too. Of Death Valley of like every player. You didn't want to go to Arizona. That was it. You know, you didn't want to go to Oakland. You don't want to go to Cincinnati. Cincinnati, the Bungles. You know, it's like you just don't want to go to these teams. So it's just kind of funny when you look back and see that Palmer has managed to be on three of those teams. That's just not good. We finally put Kaepernick at 18, and then this one's interesting to me. Michael Vick is at 19.
Yeah.
Now,
right.
He might lose his job.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to. And the reason I say that is I don't think Chip Kelly wants to start the season with the unknown factor.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't want to start his coaching career in the NFL with, I mean, Foles looked pretty good, but, I mean, and I think Foles has a huge future in the NFL and in fantasy football. I do. But I think Chip Kelly's going to want to get off to a good start. And to do that, you're going to go with the guy that the players will rally around a little bit better and has that better chance to make him look good faster. And I think that's Michael Vick. And that's why I put him at 19. Number one, he's got the weapons around him. He's got DeSean Jackson coming back, and he's all energized and enthused and can't wait to play and everything else. So you're finally hearing good things instead of complaints out of DeSean Jackson. I think this is going to be a good year for the running game. They're going to run the ball a little bit more, which is going to make their team a little bit better, which is going to help Michael Vick. You got Jason Avant still there. You got Macklin, who I think this is the year Macklin takes that next step. He's got the weapons there. Yeah. He's got Brett Celek.
They brought in the tight ends.
And new
coaching. Casey.
So he's got everything. And you know what? He can run the ball. Still has a cannon for the arm. It's not like Nick Foles was his guy.
Right. That's kind of the thing.
He inherited these quarterbacks. If anything, Barkley may have a better shot of getting in there at some point because that is Chip Kelly's guy. He drafted him. Foles and Vic were inherited. And Vic's going to give him the safer bet, the safer chance to win out of the gate. And I would think that's why he's going to start. And I think just because of the weapons around him and his ability to run the ball, he is going to be a productive fantasy football quarterback when he's playing.
When he's playing, right, exactly. But you got to have a little bit of a concern with Foles, don't you? A little bit?
Yeah, I do. I actually think Foles, if you asked me to put this list together, you know, week 10, I mean, Foles may be in it somewhere. Because I think Nick Foles, when given the opportunity to be the clear-cut starter, is going to turn heads.
Yeah.
I like this composure. I think he might be
a victim of politics, unfortunately, in this situation.
They have nothing to lose by having Nick Foles sit behind Michael Vick till Michael Vick implodes. I don't think Michael Vick is going to implode this year. I think Michael Vick is going to play within himself. I don't think he's going to try and force things. He's got somebody over his shoulder now. So I think with that being said, he's not going to be the, you know, I'll make these dopey plays because there's really nobody behind me to push me. Like he's probably had most of his career. When he went in there and finally got his opportunity to start, well, he wasn't originally the starter. When he had that great year, he didn't come in the starter. So at any point in time, he could have not been the starter. And I think he plays better when he may lose his starting job.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I think that's going to be the case going into this. So I'm looking at all these factors, and I'm not just looking at it as, oh, Michael Vick is Michael Vick, and he's going to do this and that. I'm not looking at last year. I'm looking at this year, and I'm looking at the fact that he's got someone breathing down his neck. He's not going to make those bonehead plays that kill you with points, losing points by throwing interceptions and fumbles. They have a better offensive line this year, and I think that's going to help him too. And I just see him – I mean, we're not talking about top five. We're talking top – he's 19th out of 32 quarterbacks. He's right there as somebody who can get a start for you, who's a good, solid backup if your quarterback misses a couple games. And if he loses a starting job, you know what? I slide Nick Foles in there to give the same numbers. So, I mean, if I want to be a cheat on this, I could say the Eagles starting quarterback is going to be number 19. But I'll say it's going to be – I'm going to say Vic's going to win the job and it's going to be him.
Number 20, three rookies last year. They all busted in, and you finally slip in Russell at number 20, Russell Wilson here. How come he's so low?
I just see what RG3 – I just see it more, a little bit more from it. Bombs that he threw that were so accurate and just the smart decisions. And I'm saying not Russell Wilson and Colin Kaepernick didn't do it, but they're just not the level of RG3 in that same offense. And you know what? With Russell Wilson, he loses a lot with having Marshawn Lynch back there. Yeah. I think he's going to get bell cow. They're going to run him and run him and run him. So I really think that I want to see 2 years before, you know, this guy, I saw enough to know that he's going to be productive. I didn't see enough to say I'm putting him in the top 10 like I would RG3. I think there's still a lot to be determined for him and Colin Kaepernick. They weren't first-round picks who had a great year because they were first-round picks. These are guys that fell under the radar that people are going to catch up to. Defenses are going to catch up to these guys, and it's going to hurt their fantasy value.
Absolutely. I can't agree more. You're right. Russell Wilson is on a run first team. Okay, runs the first options and run is the second option on that team, and then they throw the ball. Now they did bring in Percy Harvin, but he might be running the ball too.
Well, that was another point. Well, this is the point I'm going to make. What I see happening with Russell Wilson is he's got that new toy to play with, and he's going to force trying to play with that toy. With that being said, bad decisions. I just think they had a good thing going there. They really didn't need to bring in the superstar.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they could have drafted one and groomed them, but you're bringing in a guy a little bit of a mental case.
Yes.
On a run first team. With a second-year quarterback, and if he's not getting the ball enough, he's going to start chirping,
yes.
Which means then Russell Wilson's going to start throwing the ball more to him, and times he's going to be double and triple covered, and you're going to see some interceptions that are going to lose fantasy owners points that shouldn't be.
Yes.
And that's what I see happening. So sometimes bringing in that high-end wide receiver for that young quarterback isn't always a good thing. And I had a little bit of leeriness with Tannehill, too, with Mike Wallace. And again, we're talking about Tannehill at 16. We're talking about Russell Wilson at 20. You're going to lose some points with them trying to force the ball to their new toy. I just see Russell Wilson having those games where he's going to have a few of those four-point games.
Now, there were some notable players missing in that top 20, if you guys are listening closely. And of those players, Matt Schaub, Josh Freeman, Jay Cutler didn't make the list. That surprised me.
No, but Flacco.
But Joe Flacco was the one that really was like, wait a minute, this guy just got paid some – serious money. Why are none of these guys breaking the top 20 even?
Schaub's like the little girl with the curls. You know, you think he's on this offense that's going to score a ton of points. He just never has that big fantasy season. He's got too many running backs to score on the one-yard line, which hurts his fantasy value. Andre Johnson, they've never gotten that number two wide receiver. Now, I think they finally have it. But, I mean, they're a run-first offense also. And they live off the play action pass. But you know what? I mean, I think the window's closing on Matt Schaub and that offense. And I think they're going to see a significant drop, even though they've invested a lot of draft picks on Gene and Keyshawn Martin and the DeAndre Hopkins. I don't see it. I think a lot of these other quarterbacks surpassed Schaub. And I don't see the production that you're going to see. He's probably 21 out of 32. You know, so he's just off the list.
21. Okay.
Freeman may lose his job at some point during the
right.
year. I really think he took a major step backwards last year and the year before. I mean, he just, you know, he had a really good rookie year. Again, that's why I wasn't high on Russell Wilson. I mean, I see a lot of Josh Freeman had a great rookie year, took the NFL by storm, and been the same since. And they've brought in weapons for him.
And the team has gotten better. Yeah, exactly.
Dallas Clark.
You know, he was a stud when the team was bad. The team's gotten better, and he's just been sucking it up since then. I don't understand that at all.
Well, right, and now they have an exclusive running back that's going to hurt his it's going to hurt Josh Freeman's fantasy value, and the pressure's on him to be the starter, and he may not make it through the year. I mean, if they start out 1-4, you know, Shiano's going to look to pull the plug on him. It's going to happen. That's why he didn't make my top 20. Now, Flacco, a lot of reasons.
Lots of reasons.
Defense isn't as good as it used to be, which means you're not going to get those turnovers. You're not going to get the field position you're going to get. He's not going to have that safety valve in Anquan Boldin. And Torrey Smith has really only shown that he can get deep. Although Pitta has emerged, they re-signed Ed Dixon. He's never really panned out. There's no real weapons there for him. There's really no – they're going to run the ball more with Pierce and Rice. So I really see a drop in Flacco. He'll win. And he'll have some big games, but you're going to see a lot of 180 yards, one touchdown, one interception.
He's going to have to really earn his money this year, I got to say.
Well, right. I mean, he's going to be a very good NFL quarterback. He's not going to be a very good fantasy football quarterback. He's going to win games by just grit alone. They're going to win games by just being a good team, being well-coached and battle-tested. But he's going to have to do more. When you try and do more, you make more mistakes. They lost their center in Matt Burke. That's something that's going to hurt their offensive line. There's no offensive firepower there. And, yes, he carried those offenses and made some big plays with Jacoby Jones and so forth. But Jacoby Jones, again, is another deep threat. Pitta and Dixon, they may get the short to medium range passes, but they still need somebody who can war in the slot. I think losing Boldin, that offense loses a little bit of an identity, a little bit of its toughness. Mm-hmm. I think that's going to hurt Flacco and his fantasy value. And Cutler is this – Cutler, I mean, he's a one-trick pony. He makes a lot of mistakes. I'm not going to say he's injury-prone because it's not fair to say he's dropping because of that while I rank these guys high and say they're not going to get hurt. But they didn't improve that offense in any way, shape, or form. Forte is in and out. He's going to become a journeyman quarterback after this year.
Now, where would you feel the most comfortable stopping on this list? So if you had to go and say, look, I have to have one of these quarterbacks on my team. If I don't get this quarterback at this point in time, I'm fine. I can drop down a little bit further, but eventually I have to take a quarterback where I feel as though I have no shot at winning the championship if I have this guy as my quarterback. So what number? So Rodgers, Breeze, Newton, how about this? I'll just read them off. You tell me, okay, done. I don't want that guy. Now I've reached my limit. Rodgers, you'd be happy with him, right? Obviously. Yeah. He'll take you to a championship. Breeze, Newton, Brady, Matt Ryan, Stafford, Romo, Luck, Peyton Manning, RG3, Andy Dalton, Eli Manning, Alex Smith. We're still going, huh? You would still put these as your starting quarterbacks? Any of these guys?
I would.
Wow.
Yeah.
Ben Roethlisberger.
That's where I would stop.
That's where you thought I was going. I gave you a big old pause, and I was like, really? If he says Ben Roethlisberger, you would actually have Alex Smith, though. You'd feel comfortable having him as your starting quarterback.
I am so high on Alex Smith this year. I am telling you right now, here's what I'm going to do that I am so high on Alex Smith. I have a work league that I'm in that is a redraft league. Alex Smith will be my starting quarterback.
I see.
So if anyone listening in my league, he's who I'm going to go with, top offensive players, position players, and I am not going to take Alex Smith until late in the draft. When I say late in draft, maybe round 6 or 7. I'm going to get my running backs, my wide receivers, and my tight end before I take Alex Smith as my quarterback. Because by then, all these other quarterbacks are going to be drafted. All 11 other teams are going to have their quarterback, and I'm going to be able to grab Alex Smith as my starter. So I'm going to put my money where my mouth is.
There you go. That even gives you one extra owner in that league picking another guy, a second quarterback even. Because you got him at 13.
Right. Yes. Well, I got him at 13. And that's where I have him. The consensus is he's down in the 20s.
Yeah, 24th or something like that. Yeah.
Think about it. Jamaal Charles is a very good running back, but he's not a goal line guy.
No.
And I think Alex Smith is going to get those 1 yard plunges. Tony Maiocchi in the corner in the end zone, scrambling out, roll out touchdowns. Plus, I just think Dwayne Bowe is going to be energized this year. And when he's ready to play, that guy can put some numbers up, and he can make a quarterback look really, really good. I'm going to put this verbally here. Now, if somebody happens to take him as their second quarterback before I take him, there's nothing I can do. But I am going to make sure that everybody else is going to have their quarterback in my league, and I will not have mine because I'm going to hold out for Alex Smith.
There you go, guys. Now, don't be jerks and draft him just to spite Chris, please. Don't do that to him. Let him, because I want to see the results of this situation, because I am confident that Alex Smith is going to have a great season. I'm not as confident as the guru is, obviously. I will take him, but I think he's a guy who I can wait on because, like you've already pointed out, he is somebody who's fallen, so I could probably grab somebody else and then stash him on the backside. You guys can follow us on Twitter at the Fantasy Blitz. It's exactly that, at Fantasy Blitz. If you have any questions, go ahead and ask us those on there, and we'll be sure to get back with you. For the Guru, I'm Kyle Ambler, and this has been The Blitz. Thanks for listening, guys.
Have a good one.